Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
You're on Money FM 89.3. I'm Shehzad Haque for the workday afternoon. Now, earlier this year, electric vehicles or EV incentives were enhanced when bigger rebates under the vehicular emissions scheme, as well as the electric vehicle early adoption incentive, kicked in. Together, they accord an electric car buyer as much as 45,000 in tax breaks. The EEVI, the early adoption incentive, that provides an ARF rebate of 45% when car buyers purchase a fully electric car from the 1st of January of this year to the 31st of December in 2023. This is capped at a maximum rebate of $20,000. Then in March, in a move to remove another hurdle to adoption of cleaner vehicles, the government announced that from January 1st, 2022, road taxes for e-cars in the 90 kilowatt to 230 kilowatt power band would be adjusted further. This would be achieved by merging the current electric car road tax bands of 30 kilowatt to 90 kilowatt and 90 kilowatt to 230 kilowatt and subjecting them to the current road tax formula of the lower band. Now, on Chasing Cars today, we'll be joined by Julian Coe, editor of SG Car Mart, to find out if a tiered road tax system should be applied to EVs as well.
Chasing Cars with Clarissa and Julian Coe from SG Car Mart, only on Money FM 89.3.
As you can hear, it seems to be quite a minefield out there with this tiered road tax system. So I'm very happy that we've got Julian Coe, the editor of SG Karma, as I just mentioned, here with us, as always, on Chasing Cars to give us his insights. Julian, very good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I think we probably set the scene here, shall we? Give us an overview of EVs in Singapore and how are people responding to EVs in this country?
Well, I think Singapore is first and foremost a perfect place for electric vehicles to be. Really, I mean, it's a small island. Getting from point to point isn't going to be much of a problem. You shouldn't exactly have range anxiety, at least not with our newer electric vehicles that are recently launched as well. The only thing is, I reckon, that most of us drivers aren't still exactly open to the idea of driving electric cars. We're not as happy to change, not exactly. I mean, not yet, at least. But I think there's several reasons for that. Yes, I think it's great that the government is actually making the effort for, you know, in order to encourage people to the idea of electric cars. Mm-hmm. But I reckon they could do more. They could be a little bit more transparent on certain things, such as road taxes for electric cars. And of course, infrastructure issues as well, which they are currently looking into. So that's sort of a good thing. I think the only problem right now is just the road tax issues.
Yeah, now we're getting to the nitty gritty, don't we? Because, you know, clearly the government is trying to promote EV use here, and that's coming in the form of some tax breaks, at least. Tell us about these incentives, first of all.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier, we have the EEVI, which is essentially the Electric Vehicle Early Adoption Incentive. That, together with some of the rebates from the VES scheme, can actually allow buyers to save as much as $45,000 in tax breaks. Now, that's a lot of money. Mm. But we have to bear in mind that the EEVI provides just an ARF rebate of 45%, and that's from now till 31st December 2023.
That's right, yeah.
And of course, it's capped at a rebate of $20,000. And of course, come next year, that's when the things get slightly better. You get cheaper road taxes for cars that are slightly more powerful. So we're talking about cars like perhaps the Hyundai Kona Electric or maybe even the Kia Niro Electric. You can actually save up to 24% on road taxes. So to put it into perspective, say the Hyundai Kona Electric will see about an annual tax fall from $1,400 to $1,100.
So look, so far, so good. And yet we're not getting people jumping on this bandwagon yet. You already mentioned that people are not quite making the move or perhaps slightly traditional in the way we want to drive the cars here. But why is it? Are you surprised that perhaps with these kind of tax breaks, people aren't coming in? Because there's more to this, isn't there?
I think there's slightly more to it, yes. I think the government has actually left out cars that are more powerful. Mm. According to Transport Minister Mr. Ong Ye Kung, he actually said that all the luxury EVs, the big and luxurious cars, he would like to leave them alone for now. So if you were, for instance, deciding to buy, say, maybe a Jaguar I-Pace or maybe an Audi e-tron, You don't actually have road tax rebates. You don't actually have a break in them, at least. To put it into perspective, again, a Jaguar I-Pace currently has an annual road tax of $3,586.
Yeah.
And that's some, like, what, 54% higher than the Hyundai Kona Electric. So that's a bit ridiculous. To have someone to pay a road tax of $3,005, that's a bit too much, I reckon. But I don't think it's fair, because you want to think about this really carefully. Luxurious or not, big or small, electric vehicles all produce the same thing, which zero pipe emissions.
Right? Yeah. They produce nothing.
So the price difference should be set by car dealers. If Audi decides to sell their cars more expensive, which they should be rightfully compared to, say, maybe a Hyundai or a Kia, it's the buyer's, the onus is on the buyer to make the decision whether or not I want to pay more for a luxurious car. But I shouldn't be penalized for road tax, for having to pay more road tax than, say, maybe the buyer of a Nissan Leaf or a Hyundai Kona.
So it appears from the current taxation policies on EVs, you feel for a certain band of cars, you're talking about the luxurious one, the bigger ones, the more powerful ones, they're kind of missing the party here, and that seems counterintuitive to you.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's unfair, because if you want to encourage electric vehicles, then all of them should be included. Because, say, for example, someone wants to buy an electric car, and they're just thinking to themselves, you know what, I want to drive an electric car, but I'm just not relatable. I can't relate to cars like Hyundai Kona or Nissan Leaf. I can't do it, but I'm waiting for the Jaguar I-Pace. My eyes are on the Audi e-tron Sportback, or maybe even the Porsche Taycan, right? Say maybe my pockets are deep enough to afford cars like this, but I can't, because I just don't want to pay for an annual road tax of, what, over $3,500? Yeah. That's just ridiculous. And to make matters worse, there is already an additional charge of $700 per annum that will be added to the road tax for fully electric cars, because these cars don't pump petrol and, as a result, don't pay fuel excise duties.
Yeah.
So you're going to pay more.
But that's for to make up for the excise duty that you would have paid if you had a normal, a normal combustible engine. But we're not having to do that anymore. And so that additional charge seems a bit unfair as well, doesn't it?
Well, I think if you want to encourage electric cars, look, I think we shouldn't have any more car growth in Singapore, which is why for the last couple of years, car growth has remained zero. And if a car needs to be on the road, it's better for an EV car rather than an ICE car.
Right.
Hence, encouragement for EVs is a must. We must be very strong in encouraging drivers to convert them from their internal combustion engine, which is bad for the earth, it's bad for our children, you know, and then have them convert over to electric cars, fully electric cars at least.
Well, this is a fascinating topic here. We're talking to Julian Koh, editor SG Car Mart, about the tiered road tax system here and how that should be applied to electric vehicles and whether that should be applied at all. Or at least I think your theory and your feeling was that you should peg it against the least powerful car out there, the least powerful ICE cars out there.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I was sitting down, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know what, I think government should actually consider pegging all these electric cars to a 1 litre ICE car. Because, I mean, the 1 litre ICE car has currently the lowest payable road tax of some $390 a year, right? And if you think about it, the on-road environmental impact of any EV, regardless of power output, does not exceed that of a 1 litre ICE car.
It shouldn't anyway, right? That's
the
whole point.
It shouldn't, because it's zero tailpipes emissions. So
absolutely. You
should just peg it to a 1 litre ICE car, whether or not it's a Porsche Taycan, whether or not it's an Audi e-tron, or whether or not it's just a Hyundai Ioniq Electric. They should all pay a fixed road tax. It's all, like I said, it's up to the owners of the driver or the buyer to see whether or not they want to pay more for, I don't know, a luxurious car.
Right. So let me play devil's advocate here for a minute. Now, couldn't we argue that whilst it's, of course, great to have more EVs to help the environment, the other major concern that Singapore government and many governments have, of course, is reduce congestion. And so EVs or otherwise, in order to alleviate traffic issues, these measures like luxury EVs being taxed more and the $700 additional charge you talked about, they're acting as a deterrent, aren't they? But I think you feel COE is already doing that job.
I think the COE system is there to control car population. Road taxes, on the other hand, in Singapore, has been there as a progressive system that serves its purpose of emission control, whereby, you know, bigger displacement capacity cars are taxed more due to higher level of pollution. But make no mistakes, because road tax also serves as an ownership tax, where owners of cars will have to pay whether or not the car is being utilized or not. So it's fair. It's fair that people still pay these taxes as well as COE, but I don't reckon that these taxes act as a deterrent for car population. I think that's the job of the COE. And like I said before, I think it's doing quite a good job, because growth of cars in Singapore for the last couple of years have remained zero.
So I talked to some very passionate car owners about this very topic in preparation for this chat with you. And actually they were saying, listen, why am I paying, if you want to encourage people to use EVs, then bring the COE down for them?
Well, there is another argument where we can actually have a new COE category just specific to electric cars. But I think that involves, that's more complicated. Yeah. There's more complexities around that, because after all, if I were to lower the COE cap, the COE prices for electric cars, then everybody is going to hammer on to the electric cars.
Electric
and
car.
growth is I can't have it remain zero. It will grow.
Sure.
Car population in Singapore hence will grow, and that's something I don't see the government agreeing to. We already have a lot of cars on the road. In fact, we are building more roads just to fit the number of cars here in Singapore. It's definitely going to be a lot trickier if you want to have a separated system just for electric cars.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? You've got the environmental concerns, you've got the congestion concerns. Finally, you know, the other thing that these guys were telling me, these car owners for electric vehicles, is they want to see, you know, more charging points. They want to see perhaps public transport even more public transport moving to electric as well. When do you foresee Singapore having a majority of cars going EV or full EV? We know in the UK, of course, they've got rules from 2030 onwards.
Yes, I think it's the same for Singapore. I reckon it's going to be from 2030 onwards, because the government already has pledged, you know, the targeted number of public EV charging points to double from 28,000 right through to 60,000 by 2030. Will it happen? I'm seriously hoping yes. I'm all for electric vehicles. I mean, as a petrol head, I shouldn't be saying this, but whoa. I am all for electric vehicles, because it's inevitable. You know, this is an inevitable future.
Yeah.
And we need these charging points. I mean, when I was in Amsterdam, taxis were Nissan Leafs. Everybody was on bicycles, and there were ample charging stations all around town. And that's something that Singapore needs. And they are committed to it, and the government is committed to it. And I'm really proud to say that at least this is the effort that they're making right now. So we can actually expect to see 7-kilowatt chargers in Housing Board car parks, and at least 22-kilowatt chargers in other public car parks that are operated by agencies such as URA or National Parks Board and even JTC. So we are looking forward to that. Of course, we're talking about, what, 9 years from now?
Yeah.
Anything can change alone 9 years.
Correct.
But we got to give the government a benefit of the doubt, because at least they're trying, and I think we got to give it to them. Not all plans are perfect. It's just like, you know, you can't please everyone.
That's true.
No way. No way you can please everyone, right?
You're absolutely right. And, you know, one day I'll be calling an electric head instead of a petrol head. Julian Coe. Thank you so much. Editor of SG Karma, talking about whether EVs should be subjected to a tiered road tax system. Thank you for your time. Very informative. I enjoyed that. I'm Shazad Haq.
Thank you very much.
For the Workday Afternoon. Thanks, Julian. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.